Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and buten for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused their language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Please read along with me the catechetical review found in your bulletin. What the heirs owe their pastors. The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6:6-7. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in his preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain." And the worker deserves his wage. 1 Timothy 5:17-18. The epistle reading for this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of the fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Phrygia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Corinthians and Arabians, we hear them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young man shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing together the gospel. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel for the celebration of Pentecost from John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you this day for the atoning work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you have brought us from death to life through your Spirit, connecting us to our hope and promise in Jesus. Continue, Father, these great Pentecost moments in every day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Christ is risen. Every single time we gather here, it's hope. Every time we gather here in worship, it's a small Easter celebration, reminding us that as we are here, our Savior is risen. Our sins are forgiven. The hope and sure and certain promise that we will rise after death claims us and be with our Savior is ours, because our Savior is gone before us. Conquered our enemies, died our death, risen for us, and promises to you, dear child of God. These promises are yours. Every single Sunday we gather here is a mini Easter celebration with hope and promise for you. And every single Sunday that we gather here is a mini Pentecost Sunday. That great day of Pentecost when the disciples were gathered and they were preaching and the words that were coming out of their mouth was a different language. And everyone who was there, Elamites and Medes and residents of Mesopotamia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, they were all hearing the words of Jesus in their own language. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, giving them hope. Pointing them to Easter, the work of the Holy Spirit always points us back to Christ and the forgiveness of sins and the hope and promise that we have in here, in Him. Every Sunday that we gather is an Easter Sunday. Every Sunday that we gather is a Pentecost Sunday, a Sunday where we're pointed back to Jesus. Now we have to be clear here when we look at the future of the church and the growing of the church. You and I do not grow the church on our own, guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. God uses you and His mighty word and promise to point people to Jesus so that they might be baptized and be saved, so that they might confess their sins, so that they might trust in their Savior and have the sure and certain hope that you have as well. I don't think there's any place in our Lutheran confessions that is more clear about us and about the Holy Spirit than what Luther writes in the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Luther explains it this way: I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, He will raise me and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. That's Pentecost. That's the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit points us to. Let's try it again. As the Holy Spirit points us to. For our hope and promise, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get more clear than what Luther says. I believe that I cannot. I can't, on my own, raise myself from the dead. I can't decide to be alive and come out of my sinful nature. But I can be raised by God's gift of His Holy Spirit given to us. An ongoing gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to call and gather and enlighten and bring babies to the waters where the Holy Spirit gives them faith, connects them to Jesus, and gives them new life. That's a Pentecost moment. At Pentecost, when those disciples were there and they were preaching and teaching, there were the tongues of fire above their head. As one commentator I was studying said, it could have possibly even been in front of their mouth, because it is the very word of God spoken where the power was, the power to give salvation to them. Now, we might not see a tongue of fire above my head as I'm preaching to you today, or as you're speaking the words of hope and promise to one of your friends, but we do see the work of the Holy Spirit. It's clear. Because the Holy Spirit always points us and everyone else to Jesus. The Holy Spirit continues to do His work when water is poured over the head of that little baby and suddenly they are given new life. Their sins are forgiven. They're given faith to believe and confess in Jesus. They're connected to the cross for the forgiveness and for the promise of the Holy Spirit and for the promise of eternal life. That right there, every time a baby or an adult is baptized, is a Pentecost moment. That is God calling His people to be His own, forgiving their sins, and giving them the promise, I will be with you always. The Almighty and Eternal God, Creator of all things, makes that promise to every single person. I will be with you. You're never alone. You don't have to figure it out on your own. I will be with you. That's a Pentecost moment. Now, as Lutherans, if you want to criticize us, we can be criticized for looking at the cross of Christ too much. Our focus is always there. It's always on Christ and the work that He's done for us. His atoning work on the cross for you, for your forgiveness. A perfect sacrifice had to be offered for you to be saved. And that was Jesus on the cross for you. Shedding His blood for you. Dying death for you, rising again for you, here today, giving you hope and promise for you through the Holy Spirit that points us to Jesus. When you were baptized, you were connected to that forgiveness. You were given faith, and that faith has brought you here today. You want to see the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit? It's the very fact that you got out of bed this morning, got dressed, and came here for worship. The very fact that the Holy Spirit is working in your life is that He continues to call you and gather you and enlighten you. Even when the kids don't want to be here and they're pretty sure, you're pretty sure the Holy Spirit isn't working in them, it is. Because you as a parent convince them they need to be here, like it or not. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Making you good parents, doing for your kids what you know is best. Giving them the opportunity to hear again about by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always working, always gathering, always enlightening. When the neighborhood kids wander by the front of the church and they see my pickup and they walk into my office and they say, "Pastor, can we have popsicles?" That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God bringing them here so that when we walk to the kitchen to get the popsicles, we walk by the cross on the wall and we talk about John 3:16 and Psalm 23 and Romans 6 and Romans 8 and everywhere else I can drag them so they hear about Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit going on right now. That is an ongoing Pentecost moment every time they walk in and they want a popsicle. And they hear about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working when you realize how much of a mess you've made your life. How you worry and fear and how there's nothing you can do about it. That's a Holy Spirit moment when you say, "Please forgive me, Lord. Lord, have mercy." It's a Holy Spirit moment when you have nowhere else to go and you pray. That's the Holy Spirit working you, connecting you to Jesus for hope and promise and the strengthening of your faith. It's a Holy Spirit moment, a Pentecost moment, when every Sunday at the beginning of the worship service, we stand before a holy and a righteous judge. And we don't say, "Lord, look at how well I did last week." We say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, before a holy and a righteous God, and we do not fear." Because in our confession of faith, the Holy Spirit is pointing us to for our hope and forgiveness and promise and the ability to stand before a righteous judge, and we know we're guilty, and we know that He has atoned for our sins by the blood of His own Son. That's the Holy Spirit pointing us to Jesus. That is a Pentecost moment. The Holy Spirit is working, a Pentecost moment happening when you and I begin to realize there needs to be a church here. There needs to be a school here. There needs to be a Bible study going on here. There needs to be Sunday school going on here. That's the Holy Spirit continuing to work in our lives. Did you know that there's no LCMS church from Peace Lutheran Church in Rapid City until you get to Wall? Did you know that Ellsworth Air Force Base is expanding? And we're expecting between 2,000 and 4,000 people to move into this area. And many of those will live in that area between Peace Lutheran Church and Faith Lutheran Church in Wall. There needs to be a church there. We have been given the Holy Spirit, we have been given these Pentecost moments to be able to look and see that those people living there need to have hope. Those people moving in need to know of the gift of baptism where our Lord washes over them and gives them forgiveness of sins and gives them the ability to trust in Him. Those people moving in need a place to go where they can hear good news. They need a church and a pastor that can forgive their sins. They need a home and a place to go when everything in their world falls apart and they can go back and depend upon the family of Christ that's gathered in that place. They need the gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper and the word preached to them and the forgiveness of sins for the strengthening of your faith and of theirs too. You see that vision? That looking at that area between Peace Lutheran Church and Wall, that vision of a future mission congregation thriving there and the word being preached and people hearing, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit saying there needs to be a church there for people to hear His word. That's the Holy Spirit calling, gathering, enlightening, and giving us a vision to continue working for that. It was about 40 years ago when a number of people at Zion Lutheran Church and Pastor Ray Hartwig got together and started to pray about a mission in this backwater little place called Blackhawk. They started gathering together and praying. They didn't sit on their hands. They didn't say, well, you know, we don't have any money. They didn't let fear take over and say, we might lose some of our members. They prayed. They asked for guidance by the Holy Spirit, that God would give them the wisdom and the ability to go forward and plant a mission in Blackhawk. They started gathering together for Bible studies. They gathered right over here in Helen Peterson's house for a while, studying and praying and asking for God's wisdom. And then before long, a number of people gathered together and they started worshiping formally right down here at the school. And they did that for a couple of years. And as it continued to grow and God continued to bless and His Holy Spirit continued to work, pointing people to Jesus, they decided it's time. And they bought a plot of ground on a rocky hill that nobody wanted, where there were no houses around. And they built that building. And they added on to it three times and a fourth just a little over 4 years ago. This is our home. This is the place where we hear God's good news. This is the place where we gather with our family. This is the place where Christ comes to us. And He gives us His very body and blood for our forgiveness. He baptizes and He preaches and He teaches for us so that we might know of this absolute hope that we have. Can you imagine your life without this place? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And not only has the Holy Spirit blessed us to gather three times every week in worship, to have Bible studies pointing us back to Jesus, to have Vacation Bible School coming up, to have over 50 kids on a regular basis down below our feet in the ECC hearing about Jesus every day, the Holy Spirit continues to have all of those ministry go on here. And He also does this. He points us. And He gives us the wisdom and the vision to know there needs to be a church somewhere out there in the valley for those people who need to know about Jesus. That's a Pentecost moment. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives and in our eyes. The Holy Spirit continues to do His work of saving by pointing us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit continues to gather us here today to give us that wisdom to know that we can't sit on our hands, that we have to look for those Pentecost opportunities. Dear saints, I would encourage you to pray about that mission between Peace and Wall, that mission opportunity to start a church out there. I would continue to encourage you to pray about that and to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you as we consider that. I would ask you to consider asking God for wisdom and guidance to start a church school, a Lutheran school, here at Divine Shepherd, so that those 50 little ones downstairs who are hearing about Jesus every day in class will have a place to go on Sunday to have their sins forgiven and their Savior given to them. Consider those things as we go along. You see, Pentecost isn't a one-time event. A long time ago, 50 days after Jesus rose, Pentecost is today, when the Holy Spirit puts in my heart and in your heart that we need to start a church there. And we need to start a school here so that those little ones and those over there will hear of the hope and the promise that we have, and the work of the Holy Spirit will continue to point them to Jesus. for their hope and their promise. That's a Pentecost moment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit pointing us to in His name. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.